Hey everyone, before we get into the show, I want to thank you so much for such a great 2015. Put together, and I looked, 48 episodes this year for 2015 and got to hit on such a wide range of topics and talk to some really great people. And I could only do it, and I truly mean this, I can only do it because of the support that I got through Patreon. The people that stepped up and helped and said that this show is worth supporting. They have allowed me to continue to do this because life has gotten pretty busy with everything that we're doing over at my real job at MBSC and with all the stuff we got going on over there. So thank you to you, and you know who you are, and you guys have made this made this show continue. Going into 2016, I'm going to do my best to try to find some more benefits for you guys to see if I can make it even better for your support. So I just wanted to say thank you real quick, and I hope you enjoy the interview. If you're not a Patreon supporter and you've been listening to the show for a while, it really helps if you kick a few bucks towards the show every single month. I mean, you can do it at $1 per episode. You can do $2 per episode, and it's just super easy. They just do it automatically after you sign up. It takes 2 minutes, and it is what allows me to continue to do this show that I love doing. So thank you to everyone, Patreon supporters, people that have donated in the past through PayPal, and people that continue to download and listen to this show. I hope it continues to be a show that you love listening to each and every week, and damn, I'm proud of it. It's been a really great ride as we go into what will be episode number 368. Going to hit number 400 this year in 2016. So hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much. And I hope you had a great year in 2015. You have a great start to 2016. Let's get to the show. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and one more time for 2015. 2015, man, we're going to be in 2016 soon. I had to get back on the show, Georgia Dow. Georgia, what's up?
It's really early for me, so if I'm groggy, I apologize. I'm apologizing. It's really nice to be back. I'm so excited, sneaking in right before the end of the year where I'm going to have to be, writing down 2016 a thousand times so that I don't write 2015 on all my checks and have them returned.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a nightmare. Back to the days of second and third grade where I was writing in 1993 instead of 1994. What a terrible time. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. You don't know this, Georgia, but I wrote down a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about.
Oh, really?
I did. Okay. This is a case of where I'm also coming off of 6 hours of sleep because I did the horrible thing of starting a new show on Netflix last night.
And which show is it?
The second season of Broadchurch.
That's so good.
With the beautiful David Tennant.
So beautiful. I watched a David Tennant show as well. Jessica Jones.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I already finished that too.
Yeah, and then I'm watching How to Get Away with Murder. Also highly addictive. Jeez. It's so addictive.
Those are some dark shows to be mixed. Actually, Broadchurch is about murder too. So
it's you can't say the Broadchurch is an uplifting, happy.
All right, if we're talking about Netflix, Aziz Ansari's new show is also incredible.
What is it?
Master of None. If you're a fan of him from Parks and Recreation. Well worth watching. Netflix taking over the world of television. So we do have a lot of stuff to talk about. And, of course, when this comes out, we're going to be getting really close to the holidays, to Christmas, and people are going to be wanting to, pick up stuff. And I've been kind of checking out, fitness stuff and seeing, what's out there because, people always give me that question, oh, what's the best – fitness tracker? Like, is there something good out there that we should check out? So I have a couple questions. One, I wanted to, because I know you're still wearing it. I'm sure you have it on right now, your Apple Watch.
I don't have it on right now, but I...
God.
But it was because, like, I'm like at my own place. So I don't usually have it on if I'm around the house unless I've already had it on for something else.
Okay.
So, like, I have my phone, so I'll get everything. Any pop-up or calls I'll get on my phone. So I only get that when I'm traveling or I'm out or I actually will care about what time it is. Because it is actually also a watch. It's the slowest of all of its features. It kind of fails at a watch. Okay. And everything else it's pretty good for.
Well, where is it at in terms of its fitness capabilities? Because, I tried one out like right when it first came out. I wasn't super pumped. I wasn't super impressed. But they've had about, what has it been like? At least almost, it came out in like March, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like 9 months of updates and iteration to update the software in there. And I was just kind of curious if you've kind of seen or heard or experienced any kind of, things that might be, worthwhile of a recommendation for people to pick up if they do want to use it for fitness tracking as well.
Well, it runs about the same as all other fitness trackers. The coolest part is that, a doctor friend of mine actually tested it out on all of his own stuff at work, all of his heart rates and his blood pressure monitor, everything else. He tracked that against the watch, and it was accurate, which was really, really cool. Now, is it going to be anything better? Like, if you like something that is not a watch and you want just something that's a band, then right now, fitness trackers are all around the same thing. There's nothing that's a huge difference that's going to put you over the top. So if you use an Android, just get whichever fitness tracker. They're all about the same level of accuracy right now. Nothing is going to put you ahead. When Apple actually is able to deal with like glucose monitoring and oxygenation and other things that they believe that they will be able to do, I think that will put it over the top. But right now, it should be whatever is most comfortable for you. So I would say it is as good as any other fitness tracker. For me, the fact that I get all my notifications, I'm able to answer the phone on it. It's pretty good for me because of that. And so that's why that I will choose that over anything else, is because I'm an Apple user. But if you use Android, this is not going to work out for you. It's not going to be something that is so much better. You're going to want to switch over. And, if you use a Windows phone or whatever else, you're going to want to get whatever's best for you in that way. But I can't really say, like, people talk about, oh, this is so much better. Truly, they're all about the same level. And none of them are completely accurate. They're pretty good for it. You have to have them on relatively tightly, as with all of them, so that they have good skin contact. If you're sweating and moving around, you might have something that's a little bit less accurate. But the wonderful thing with all the fitness monitors is that you don't have to write down. It's tracked all for you. You can take a look at the graphing for it. It encourages you as you go. It's going to help push you a little bit higher. If you're for your workout, you have to reach, a certain level. That's lovely. But can I say that you should definitely say that the watch is best? Yes, I work for an Apple site, but I can't say that the Apple Watch is best. The Apple Watch is best for me because I never have to search for my phone in my purse.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is coming out after the fact, but there were some great Black Friday deals. Like, Target had the Apple Watch for like $50 off and like a gift card.
Wow,
stuff
that's
like
so
that.
Huge. So,
yeah, Apple products usually don't get the discounts.
No.
Come Black Friday, I guess Apple does a little bit on their end. But I was kind of curious just because it seems like in the fitness tracking space right now, like, everything is kind of all the same, like you said. And I think the big thing that these companies are trying to figure out is keeping costs low, but also making sure that these things are durable. Because the number one thing I hear from people is like, yeah, I had a Fitbit and it broke. I had a, whatever, and it broke after, 3 months of just like normal use. Didn't go through the wash. Like, these things, like the Jawbone, whatever it is, like, all these things just kind of break.
Well, that's the lovely thing. You're spending more money on an Apple product, but you know it's that's not going to happen with it. And if you buy Apple Care, which you really should if you have a watch, I actually took a huge spill the other day on a floor. It was pretty epic. It was in a very the funniest part. It was in a really expensive sushi restaurant, and so like it's all dark, and there's like all the candlelights and stuff like that. And I walk in, and I'm wearing like the jacket, and I'm like you know, yeah, I look cool, and I'm like that's one of my thoughts on it, right? I'm so not cool. And I like did an epic spin on my boots. Like I actually like did a spin backwards all the way around. My feet were in the air, and then I like landed with like a break fall. But unfortunately, with the break fall, that means that I landed on my watch on the hard floor. And so my first thought, funny, was not like, did I hurt myself or why is everyone laughing?
Is my because wrist
it was
broken?
Pretty epic. No, none of those thoughts. I was like, what? How much of my tech got totally wasted on my epic fall? And the lovely thing was, is that it didn't. It didn't even get a scratch on the watch, and it was a pretty hard hit. But that's the lovely thing with Apple products, is that if they break, you do have Apple Care, and they make stuff so that they don't break. It's not going to have something that's going to feel wonky. It's going to feel like all the rest. If there's a problem with it, they will fix it. They have the bands that will last almost forever. They look pretty good. And so that's the nice thing with Apple products, is they just do work.
Totally.
Now, again, this is the first gen of watches. If you're thinking of buying one now, I would say, like, if you can hold off, I would probably wait till you know, like October. So when they'll be coming out with, you know, the next set, because they'll be better and you're going to then want those. So, you know, if you really need a fitness tracker and you have not already gotten one, then that, you know, I can understand getting one, and it would work out with anything else, and they don't break. But if you're going to wait, Apple will come out with a newer, better one really pretty soon. Well, pretty soon. 6 months, you're going to be waiting. But if you can wait 6 months, you probably should.
Yeah, it's always, you know, they always kind of deliver on the products. Like I drop my laptop and stuff, and it always keeps working. So,
yeah.
Durable,
yeah.
Like made out of ballistic aluminum.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I say aluminum too.
Yeah, it's. I just like the way Johnny Ives says it. I wish he could just read me stories. Like,
yes.
Why is he not doing Audible books in his free time? God.
Probably because he makes the big bucks and doesn't have to.
Yeah, I'm sure he's okay.
He has people that do that for him.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, I really like the Polar. I think it's like the A300. If you want to just go like the cheaper route and you just want straight up like fitness tracker, that's worked out really good for me. And also just, you know, if you want to go bare bones and you just want like a really good heart rate monitor, Polar is usually the ones to go with. They do a great job putting that stuff together. So I want to talk about some psychology stuff, because we just had Black Friday here in the States, and it is just an event of depressing proportions when you get to see videos online, or, you know, people doing crazy things to save $20 on a coffee maker. I was just kind of curious if you've had any thoughts or you have any ideas of, you know, why do we as people get crazy about this stuff? Even I, like I said in the Agenda Free segment, I bought like a TV and spent like 2 or 3 hours trying to buy this thing because Amazon's website was going nuts.
Right.
But I was like freaking out, like, man, I need to get this. This thing is like literally half off. Like, I need this deal, because otherwise I missed out on a huge opportunity. So what's wrong with us, Georgia?
I'm going to just get down to kind of the bare bones. We're a really materialistic society. We are. Right. It's just the way that we are. I am too. Like, I have all the newest tech. So I'm putting myself into that. I like it. I like shiny new technology things. It gets me excited. It's something fun for me to do. But we're highly focused on that. If you think about how much time and effort we spend buying things, working so that we can buy things, talking about things that we buy and do, it's one of the things that really won't make you happy yet for the moment. We think that they will. And it's a lie. Like, I, you know, bought a great coat. I love it. It's fabulous. I, you know, got the new phone. I love it. It's so cool. And then after like 2 weeks, it's kind of lost its luster.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that drives us, and it feeds the consumerism of the way that our society works. And, you know, there's some cultures that actually never buy anything. You just kind of always, you keep something and then on your birthday, you give it all away. Mm-hmm. And then that's the same thing that happens to others. Doesn't really fit well because then you're not feeding into our ecosystem, which is a great way to game our system is actually not to buy into buying things. And then you can go through the entire movie of Fight Club. So that's the first thing. And then we end up with that herd mentality. Everyone else is really excited about the new deals that are out there.
Right.
They end up giving like one or two deals that are like just killer. You almost cannot refuse. And then you get caught up in that momentum of being part of the herd that's everyone's talking about, the cool stuff that they bought, that they should. And it makes us think, well, I should be doing that. If everyone else is doing it, it must be right.
I'm going to miss out if I'm not doing it. Like,
of course. Yes.
That's totally like what happened is when I saw, people were posting on Twitter. But like, again, I went into that weekend not thinking about buying a new TV. And
right.
Then, you know, I had friends on Twitter be like, oh, man, I just picked up this new Samsung TV. Like, Amazon has one for half off. And they were literally, like, kind of ridiculous prices. Like, I'm sure it was a pretty good deal. But I was just like, oh, well, I mean, I'm just sitting here watching hackers. Like, I'll just jump on Amazon. I'll take a look. And then I was like, oh, man, these people are saying some really nice things about this TV. My TV's kind of old. Maybe I should do it. And I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not proud of it.
But, you know, so they do have some great sales that they have out there that, you know, if you're looking to buy something, you might as well save money while you're at it to be able to purchase it.
I bought some little socks too, Georgia, and my feet are toasty right now.
I think that that's actually I think that that's a really great buy. There's nothing better than like, you know, having some really nice, warm, squishy, socks that'll keep your feet dry. We don't take enough care of our feet anyways. So
totally.
I love that.
I get totally like a new pair of socks.
Like,
it.
Yeah.
Like I always bought like the Hanes, like, you know, six pack for $12 at Target. And
yes.
I spent $60 on socks and I got eight pairs of wool socks. And I like to keep it. Like, I just like to keep my heat, like, not really high because I just don't want to, like, I don't have to, like, keep it 70 degrees. But my feet get cold, and now I'm wearing these socks, and my feet are in heaven.
Yeah.
It's totally.
Yeah.
That was such a great power purchase. Get some wool socks for yourself.
Yes. And spend a little money on your socks. I have socks that I, like, destroy throughout the day, and then I have some that I'm going to be walking a lot through a long day. And I'm like, you don't have to buy a ton of pairs of expensive socks. Sometimes it's just running around the house, and it's not going to make a difference. You're going to destroy them anyways. Mm-hmm. But it's good to have some pairs of really nice, squishy, comfortable, supportive socks for you to keep your feet warm, especially if you live somewhere where it's cold.
How are you doing up there so far? We're in December right now, so is it just like a frigid hell?
It's like Tatooine. Like it's like really like, it's a cold it's just a cold lost place here right now. So
terrible.
Sorry, not Tatooine. Anyways, wherever they kill Tauntauns. And it's right now it's just desolate. And cold, there's not any snow down, but it's getting there. And when we get cold, we get like a humid cold. It's like chill that kind of goes through you, which is very unpleasant.
Like you inhale it.
Yeah.
Gross.
Oh, yeah. This will be the place where your eyelashes will freeze together.
Ugh.
Because it's so cold. So if you blink, they could just freeze closed on you. And there's a great Norwegian saying that's not that there isn't bad weather, there's just bad clothing. And so you want to make sure that you're set. So I'm out there buying, a nice hat. I bought a nice set of coats. I need to buy a nice set of boots that will actually keep, instead of being fashionable, it'll just keep my feet warm because I'm done past the, I'm clumsy as it is already. So I might as well just be warm.
The craziest thing from me being a child to me being adult is I always used to fight my dad to wear a hat. Like you'd be like, put a hat before we go out. And I'm like, I don't want to wear a hat. Like, I don't want to mess up my 9-year-old hair or whatever the hell was going on. Or I just like thought the hat was stupid and I didn't want to wear it. And now I wear hats in the house. Like I'll wear a beanie and I like, because I have short hair, I like to keep my head warm. And God, go to like the North Face and get a couple good hats too.
Yeah.
Keep your head warm. Yeah. That's how you get sick.
No, exactly. You want to be able to, it's so important for your health. So especially if you're running and you want to make sure that you're wearing something so that, you know, you're going to be sweating and then you're going to be cold, and you want to make sure that you're dressed properly so that you're not going to be keeping all that sweat in and you're not going to freeze at the same time. So investing in a good hat, a good pair of gloves, and some shoes that you're not going to slip and hurt yourself on. It's really important.
Is there any other like tech stuff for like the healthy folks out there that has kind of caught your eye, whether it has to do with like, you know, tracking or sleep or whatever?
It's so funny. So I have two that are for health, but one will, like, you know, we've already spoken about, so I'll just mention it. But toothbrush, it's interesting. The plaque that grows on our teeth is really not good for our entire system. And I think that I once looked online and I went through like, what is the best toothbrush? Because I like to have my teeth be clean and my enamel is not really strong. So I want to make sure that I've kept them as clean as possible. And the Sonicare toothbrush is life-changing.
Really?
It's life-changing. It is life-changing. I can say that it is, you get your teeth almost as clean as you would going to a cleaning by the dentist.
No way.
Yeah, it is. And I thought,
this is a $100 toothbrush.
It's a $100 toothbrush. You can get like the 4-pack version if you're a big family. I have the one with the little UV part, so it actually also kills off all the bacteria that might be on the toothbrush head. It, you know what? It's something that you do every day and you have to keep your teeth for life. So it's so good. It is so amazingly good. It works really, really well. And it's good for your gums. It's good for your tongue. It's a great toothbrush. And so I read it on like some Reddit AMA, and there's like asking dentists questions. And so they said, what's the most important thing? You know, what kind of toothpaste should you buy? And all the dentists said, you know what? You know, by the time I read the fifth dentist saying, don't worry about the toothbrush, but get this toothbrush, I went, well, if dentists are saying buy this toothbrush, it must be a really good toothbrush because they get them all for free. So I bought it. And besides the fact that it tickles for like a week, it's really hard to use it because I'm like laughing. It's like really tickling me. But after that, I was like, wow, my teeth have never felt so clean after brushing them.
Okay. I literally bought a toothbrush while you're talking about that.
Oh, you have to tell me what you think of it after. It's going to, like, after a week.
Well, they had a $10 coupon, Georgia. So it's like, I'm missing out on, losing money. Like, if I don't buy this, like, I just lost
$10. Right.
You know, I will say, like, if I got the new, I don't know if we talked about this, but I got the new iPhone 6 Plus, like, gigantic tablet phone.
Yes.
Which is outstanding.
It is an awesome phone.
And
what color?
Just space gray.
Okay.
Like I'm a very neutral, don't want to draw attention to myself kind of person. But I got to trade in my old iPhone 6 to Amazon. They gave me like $480 for it.
Whoa.
Like a ton of cash. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I built up a little bit of goodwill credit with them for gifts, and now $80 or $89 went to a toothbrush.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to change everything. I want to hear about after you've used it for like a week and actually been able to fully brush your teeth instead of just get used to it. And it'll feel really strong at first. Now it feels like nothing, but it'll feel really like, oh my God, this is very strong levels of you know, sonic vibrations. But
this is a weird December, Georgia. I have a curved TV, a curved monitor, and now I have a sonic toothbrush.
Right.
Like, I am not Doctor Who.
Life-changing.
Okay.
It's life-changing. It's life-changing. There's some stuff that make a huge difference, and, you know, you should be purchasing it. And I am looking at the Toto toilet. We talked about it before.
Oh, the heated toilets?
I have the heated toilet seat and the bidet.
Ooh.
But the Toto sells one that has like the self-cleaning, you know, air freshener, air dry, like all of these type of things. And I was like, I might do it. I might do it. I might do that. I'm going to see.
You know,
so there we go.
I think we can all agree, like, the two things that we could probably take better care of ourselves are our bums and our mouths. Like, Keep your mouth clean, guys. Brush your teeth.
Yeah. It's so important.
Don't sit on a cold toilet seat in the morning.
If you don't have to, why do that?
Why do that? Oh, man. Japan. Just everyone get on a plane and go to Japan, sit in that toilet in the hotel, and you tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. You'll never be able. I did that once, and I was like, no, I can't. I can't. I have to bring this home. I have to bring this home.
Have you decided to go to Tokyo yet?
I would love to. So my thoughts on it are, so there's a few places that I want to go, but I'm probably going to be doing, I'm thinking about doing Brazil this year instead because I have family that's there.
Oh, cool.
And so it just makes it worthwhile. I can see family, it lowers cost, and I would love to go to Tokyo, Bora Bora, so I can do some diving. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to go, and maybe Hawaii as well, just to be able to see all the cool volcanic, rocks and all of the different things that are there. So there's places that I want to go, but I don't know. For the Tokyo, it's so expensive that it's something that I really want to save up for. Mm. Though I will ask you tips on how to do that without spending a lot.
I mean, it's a little bit more than an iPad Pro. $1,000 round trip, maybe.
It's not bad. It's not bad. But staying there.
Oh, staying there is not that bad. I mean, you can do Airbnb. I don't know if that, and that organization is kind of horrible now or something.
Yeah, I've heard some bad things, but there's bad things with everything. It'll probably just be a little cheaper now to get your Airbnb because they're getting bad press. So
why is everything that's good? Why does that end up being horrible, Georgia? Because like now, what's it called? The car service that picks you up, like they're terrible now too.
You know, I think that what happens is that people, we are strongly inclined to vilify things that are doing really well. So every time like some Apple makes a mistake and there's like leakage of light coming from a phone or someone burns themselves on an iPhone that was poorly manufactured, because a company is doing so well, we like to knock things off of pedestals.
Right.
Which is not a great character trait of our society, but it's exceptionally common now. So because Uber was doing so wonderfully well, you know, and there's no way that you can vet everyone all the time. There's people that will get angry. There's people that are bad people. The same thing with regular taxi services. There's people that have bad experiences that have been attacked and hurt by regular licensed taxi services as well. But an open market system, there are more inherent problems with that because there's less checks and balances, of course, and that is to be expected. But unfortunately, one person writes a story and then everyone goes with it because people want to hear about this something, you know, everyone's heard about Uber and oh, it's not great, and so then everyone's going to vilify it,
right,
and knock it down. It's almost like the same the UFC fighter Ronda Rousey. Everyone was loving her and then she lost and then she was vilified after. It's really a sad state of affairs for us to do that.
Yeah. No, let's not. It's a downer now, Georgia.
Sorry.
let's think about something cool.
Something happy. Happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts. Okay, so a couple other things I want to talk about. I mean, we're getting towards the New Year's, and it's always about, like, this is a really good, I mean, sometimes people say, oh, you know, if you really want to do it today. But you know, I think, and this is not a professional opinion, this is just a kid saying, I think if you want to take New Year's and just grab onto it and use it as a stepping stone to help do something that you really want to do, you know, why crap on people who want to do that? So you have any advice for people that are thinking like, yeah, you know, there's something I really want to do, whether it's like, you know, get in shape, or for me, my thing is just like, I got to sleep better.
Right.
I got to figure out how to get some good, like 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep. But do you have any advice for people that do want to get that New Year's resolution locked in, set it up, and make sure it's successful?
Yeah, for sure. Well, what you know, research what is happening with it. So, like, I actually did a new DVD for the anxiety videos. One of them is on sleep. It's pretty good. It has like 50 different tips on how to sleep better, which works out. But you want to first you know, set yourself, do I really want this and why do I want to do it? I think that sometimes what we do is we set something as a New Year resolution, but it's not something that we truly care about enough to set your mind to do it. So you want to say, you know, not doing it because it's a New Year's resolution, but doing it because I really want this. And this is something that I have to make a priority. Mm-hmm. The problems with patterns of behaviors is that, so we're exceptionally pattern forming and we like to do things. We feel comfortable and safe doing things that we have done in the way that we've always done them. And so if you want to change behavior, and that's why once you've done something a few times, even if you're, you know, training and you've trained and you've been doing an exercise improperly, it becomes hard when you're not focusing to fix that. You really need a lot of conscious effort to change the way that you're doing it. That's why it's great to actually have a trainer before you start working out, so that you don't do something wrong and you're going to end up hurt or dealing, you know, damage or just doing an exercise improperly and not getting the best benefit. So you want to make sure that this will be a priority for you. Mm-hmm. If it's not going to be a priority, we're going to fall into old habits. Usually what happens is you set a New Year's resolution. It's cool. It's new. Everyone's talking about it. And so again, herd mentality, you want to be part of that group and have your New Year's resolution for when people ask you. And then it's not something that you really care about. It's not something that you've researched. It's not something that really matters to you. And then you set it as priority 10. If you set something as priority 10, it's probably not going to happen. It's just there's too many other things. And so you want to set something as, if you want it, it has to be, you know, within your top three things that you're working on. So that would be number one. So make sure you actually want to do it. Because if not, you know, you can say it just to be part of the group, but you're probably going to get little action in keeping it and having it be something that you stick. So that would be the first one. The second one is that we often make New Year's resolutions and they're huge. I'm going to lose 100 pounds by the end of the year, which is, you know, if you want to lose weight or you want to get more fit or you want to eat healthier or you know, you want to learn a new skill, that's fabulous. But if you set it as I'm going to climb Mount Everest, that seems daunting and you're not going to be able to kind of stick to it. So, you know, go back to the piece of how you would do goal setting and just make it into small little incremental achievements. And that helps us. Now, I have some cool tricks that I do for myself is that if I really want something and I want to get to it, I write it on a piece of paper and I stick it somewhere where I'm going to be staring at it all the time. Because when we're tired and we're busy, we forget. And so writing something down and looking at it is our constant reminder that I should do this and I want to keep at it. And I would sometimes even I print the full calendar and I'll give myself stickers each time I do it. And if I put it into small, manageable week goals, like for 1 week, I could do this much. You know, I'm going to train four times a week for this week, or I'm going to practice every day for 15 minutes. That makes me feel manageable. And then, you know, after that, I give myself a little reward. That works really nicely. And you can even use your tech to be able to be your reminder instead of that, so that it'll keep on kind of, you know, being there. And it's going to give you that little, okay, maybe you should train now. Don't forget this. Now, I'll give you a couple of other ones. Like one I love is, you know, that imagining yourself with how you would feel by achieving this goal. How would you feel? How would your life change if you get there? And so that gives you the goal line. And then the next part would be work your way backwards. So what you want to do is you want to see where you want to go, have that feeling of what would life be like? How would I feel about it? What would I enjoy? And then if I work my way backwards to it, how would be each of the steps that I would need to be the next step from that? And if you do that realistically, that works out really well to have a nice set of this is what I want, this is what's important to me, and then making it a priority to be able to say, okay, this is my one thing. And if you say that you're going to, you know, do 15 minutes of exercise every day and you don't, there, if you really want to get this goal, there should be a consequence. Hmm. Like, if you really want it, there should be a consequence to not doing what you say. Now, sometimes we did too much. Like, 15 minutes every single day might not be achievable for you. It might be every second day, whatever it might be. But, you know, besides saying it's way out of whack, it might be just I was lazy. But you don't give yourself a consequence then, you know, to what happens if I don't do it. So if I say I'm not going to go onto the computer until I work out, well, if I'm not going to use my phone or computer until I worked out, I'm going to work out every day right away in the morning. It's going to get done right away because that's how important that is to me. But then you have to say, are you going to be disciplined to follow your own rules? And I think that that's another one that we give up on ourselves. We plan something and then we don't make sure that we follow ourselves through. And you want to do that with yourself. I think we often have other people that will motivate us and other people to deal with it, which is great. But it's nice to be, this is something that's important enough to me to either spend the money to make sure that I do it with someone else that they're paid to make it instead of being a friend where I just get to yell at them and if I fail, it's their fault. But it's dealing with that. And then once something becomes your routine, now that's your pattern and that's where you will feel comfortable. And there's a great chance that you will continue doing it because it is natural and feels right.
Mm-hmm. Damn. That's pretty good. I've been doing the weird thing of I tell my phone. Okay, so I'm sure you can do this on like any Google or Windows phone too. But on like my iPhone, I hold down the button, say, "Hey Siri, remind me at 4:30 p.m. something." Like I'll say, "Remind your Kevin, you know, remind me why I'm doing this," or something right. like that. And it's just like getting that notification at 4:30 in the afternoon when I'm tired, I'm like, oh man, this is when I'm going to go for like an energy drink or something like that, which I know is going to screw up my sleep tonight.
Right.
Like, just, hey Kev, just past Kev wants to remind future Kev, like you need to make sure that you don't screw this stuff up, because my big issue for everything that I've always done is that future Kevin, I don't give a crap about him. I usually don't.
Right.
I usually don't
right.
care. I care about
right.
like this, the one that I am right this second.
Yes.
I don't care about what's going to happen to that kid down the road. It's not a big deal to me. But I've been trying to do a better job of like, all right, think about, you know, at some point you're going to be that guy. You're going to want to make sure that you take care of him, like make a little bit of an investment right now in that future person. And that's like having that thought process has been kind of really big for me of just like, all right, yeah, that kid's going to do, like, I keep calling myself a kid. I'm 30 years old. That guy is going to do some really cool stuff, and let's put him in a really good position to make sure that he can succeed and
yes.
have better opportunities to do some even better stuff down the road.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the idea of kind of like giving yourself a reminder at the point where you would be weakest to kind of say, is this important enough to me? And there's some really cool, like, for sleep, there's like some really cool tricks that you can do through the day to help you sleep later at night, which are kind of neat. Like, yeah, you can eat healthier and not have caffeine and other kind of neat stuff. But, and this one is a costly one, but I'll give it because I don't think that it's one that we've mentioned before when we've done a lot of different talks about sleep, and it's so vastly important for health and muscle rebuilding and learning and all of the other good stuff that we've spoken about. But practicing some like 5 or 10 minutes of deep breathing, or you could consider it meditation, or even guided imagery, which is really, really cool. It's when you go through a story in your head, or even passive relaxation, which is really neat. And it's you actively practicing letting your body relax. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about doing that is that you're training your body to go into the light slate stages, the alpha beta waves that you go into before you fall asleep. So you're kind of practicing being able to hit the first sleep stages at a point during the day when you're awake. Now, the coolest thing about this is if you really did it, if this was your priority and you wanted to do it, trying this out for a good, now you're going to hate it for a good, like probably for like 4 or 5 times, you'll probably not like it because you're not like, if you're having trouble sleeping, you're probably either a worry or you're type A and you're, you know, solving the problems of the world and you're going through everything and you're amped up.
Yep. That sounds about
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So doing this, you are actively practicing being able to amp back down. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it at a point when you're awake. So if you can do that when you're awake and you're not tired and there's no melatonin buildup yet in your system, then it makes it much easier if you do the same thing then before you go to sleep, and you can reach much faster that early stages of sleep, and then you just let yourself kind of slip into continuing doing that. And it also works if you wake up through the middle of the night. Now, this one is more costly. There are easier tips that we've kind of gone through on some of the other shows that we've done on it. But this one is really neat in that it's good for a lot of other health benefits. It also helps you heal through the day. Your body will go through the storage. Your mind will go through that wandering stage that's really healthy for us. And it works really well. And again, if you hate the idea of just thinking of nothing and doing deep breathing, which is not good for me, my mind is just too busy to do that. So passive relaxation, you're practicing, you know, do the deep breaths, you know, relax your forehead, relax your jaw, and you go through each different position in your body, actively practicing letting your muscles let go of their hold and melting, which is a very cool feeling. And so you're doing something. The people don't like meditation because they're not in their minds. They're not doing anything. You're practicing being relaxed, which is really important. And this you will get to get the benefits immediately. So you get that immediacy effect, which we love. And then it will help you when you're sleeping because you can do that even for yourself, or you can listen to a tape on your phone and then just pull out the earplugs after of being able to practice that. And guided imagery is really cool. Guided imagery is different than passive relaxation. Active relaxation I don't like, but that's when you flex muscles and then relax them. Mm-hmm. It's good if you have a lot of muscle pain or a lot of anger. It's also good for relaxing. But guided imagery is really cool because this one is awesome. So what you're doing is your mind is taking a journey into some fantastical, relaxing, calming place. And it gives you cues of what you can see, but then your imagination takes over. So if you are a creative person, if you are someone that is able to visualize things well, this could be the way for you. And it's a lot of fun. I love doing guided imageries. And I don't do them as often as I should. I do them when I'm doing session, but it's just really cool. And you can get short ones. Don't start off with something that's 20 or 30 minutes. That's going to be too long for you. Start off with 4 minutes, 6 minutes of just sitting there and letting your body, it'll teach your body to relax, and you'll go to a cool, happy place. And then it's neat to say, what did your imagination take over? What was those unconscious things? It'll say like, you know, okay, you know, picture your, you know, most favored relaxed place. What does it look like? You know, take a look and feel something on the ground. How does the ground feel? Is it cold to your touch? What do you smell? You know, what are the sounds of this room? Or this place, or wherever you're going. And so it's kind of neat at the same time and a lot of fun. And so for some people, it's difficult for them to go there. And for other people, they can get lost in this place. And it's really interesting as well because you can deal with all the unconscious issues that come up to it.
I will, just to jump off of what we talked about last time, I did have to start doing the putting my phone far enough away from me so I don't start looking at it in the middle
of
the
night.
When I woke up, and that totally worked. It's just like, oh, it's too cold. I'm not getting out of bed.
Yeah, like, right. Exactly.
I'll just wake up when the sun's up, and then I'll have a pretty good idea what time it is.
Oh, that's great. Good job. Was it hard when you first did that? That feeling of like that?
It sucked. You know, the first time I did it, I literally, like, I think it was like 2 days after we talked about it, and I did the same thing. Like, I had my phone in bed, and I literally just like, I threw it across the room into like, there was like blankets on the ground. So like, I knew I wasn't going to get smashed, and I'm like, all right, I got to go to bed because like I broke that rule one time. I think it was on like Thanksgiving Day. Like I was just up at like 3 a.m. and I woke up and I just, for some reason was wide awake and I didn't go back to sleep. I just got up at 3 a.m. and it wasn't like the worst thing in the world. I just did stuff. Like I did some work
and
trained and stuff. It wasn't the end of the world.
There's something interesting about sleep that happens. So sometimes we wake up naturally like 5 or 6 times, which we've spoken about, but sometimes you think you're awake. So you're laying there and like, ah, I'm really awake. I'll say to myself, and my rule is that I'll be like, okay, I'm just going to lay there for like 20 minutes. I'm going to lay there, really get comfortable, lay there still, do my deep breathing. And if in 20 minutes I'm still awake, which is what I think I am, but no doubt I'm not, I'll then get up and do stuff. Mm-hmm. And almost every single time, unless I'm thinking worry thoughts, I'm practicing my breathing and going to a relaxed, you know, not solving the problems of the world right now. Almost every, like 90% of the time, I will fall back asleep. And I can do that like all the way through the night. So at least I'm getting better sleep cycles than, you know, roaming. But if it's after 20 minutes, yeah, you know, get out of bed. Don't make the bed a place of torture, which is not good, of laying there and tossing and turning. And so go out, do something else, and then, you know, head back to bed when you're feeling tired again.
Yeah, it's just, I'm still fighting with that thing of, like, I think sleep is really stupid. I don't like,
right.
I don't like to sleep. I like doing stuff. Like, it could be something as dumb as, you know, being on your phone or like watch. I'd rather be like, you know, watching a show or doing work or playing a game or something. I just,
right,
man, I get to spend so much of this time doing nothing in my life.
It's so interesting, because if we really saw, I don't think that our culture yet believes the importance of sleep. I think that even though, like, you know, we've already spoken about it, and even for myself sometimes.
Well, it's almost like praise, like, oh man, I only slept four hours because I've worked so much. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, no, exactly. It is. Sleep is for the lazy. Sleep is where we waste time. Sleep makes us less productive. But if we truly knew, if we could see, the problem is that we don't understand the brain enough. We do understand it and we know what's happening, but we can't see the effect of, you know, we have data, we have research. You can take a look at the research on people driving being tired versus driving when they're high versus driving when they're drunk. Mm-hmm. And actually driving sleep deprived is worse than both.
Great.
Which is pretty scary.
Yeah.
But sorry. But what we don't see is we can't see the reparation of cells. We can't see that we actually do our repair work on our DNA, and, you know, and our white blood cells, is that's when we're fighting like precancerous cells, is when we're sleeping, and that we're cleaning, you know, the amyloid plaque from our brain. If we could see that and we knew that this is what happens, the little workers come out in times of meditation and in times of when we were sleeping, if we could see that accurately, there was no one that would not make sure that this is a priority, and parents would make sure to teach their children the exact same thing. It's like, you know, you're not going to, you know, rake the lawn if you don't see that there's leaves there. But because it's in the front of your lawn and everyone's going to notice it and you can see the leaves building up, you're like, okay, I guess this is enough of a buildup. I better start raking. But, you know, it's much more important to get your sleep than to rake your lawn. It's just, one is more visual. And unfortunately, we really are not able to take accurate real-time, you know, imagery of what's happening at the brain right now, so that we can give proof, even though we know from every single, you know, anecdotal and scientific research that it's vastly important to us. So it's one of those things that you don't see it, then it isn't really there.
We got to sleep more, folks. We got to do it. And I would recommend, if you need some help doing it, you can go to anxiety-videos.com and you can get an awesome digital download where Georgia will help you out to get the sleep you've always dreamt of. I love that tag.
Thank you. That one's Sanders. That's Sanders.
Nice.
Mine. She also got the picture, which is really cute.
And at $59, that's like $20 US or something like that. So it's a fantastic deal.
It's our dollar's going to be so low that we're going to be paying you to watch it soon.
Does that worry you?
No, because our culture, we actually do really poorly. Our, like, Canada as a whole does really poorly when our dollar's on par with the States, because we are mostly importers. Exporters. So we export to the States, and we're the United States' biggest trading partner, even for oils and other things. homes. So when our dollar is high, people are going to purchase less. The United States is going to purchase less from us, and it's worse for our economy. So when our dollar goes low, you don't want it to go too low, but when our dollar goes low, the country does really well. Perhaps not my purchasing power in the United States, but now our prices are so low here in Canada that it doesn't make a huge difference to that. Now, if you're working and you get money from the States, you know, or you yourself are an exporter to, and you purchase things in the States, that's going to be horrible for you. But we are, by and large, we export to the United States. And so when our dollar goes too high, we lose a lot of money. And when our dollar goes low, we're actually doing quite well. So that's what we actually want it to be there. And our country tries to keep our dollar lower within the 75 cent to like 80 something mark to the United States, because that's where everyone has been comfortable with. So, no, it doesn't really bother me.
One, I don't know why this popped in my head right now, but maybe because you were talking about like controlling the dollar value. I got to watch Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Yes.
Over the break. And one of the best trends right now is like I pre-ordered the Blu-ray through BestBuy.com and they just send you a digital download.
Sweet.
In HD. So you can stream like an HD version. It's not like, it's not Blu-ray quality, but it's, you know, it's good enough to enjoy the movie. And holy smokes, man. Tom, you're still in that job. But you can bring it, dude. Wow.
I know he gets a lot of, you know, people get really offended. And he takes a lot of hits about, you know, Scientology and, you know, some different views he has. I love him. I love him in the movies. I love his intensity.
He's a positive person.
He is so positive. He's so inspirational to things. No, he does not always believe the same thing, but people don't have to believe what I believe. That's totally cool. I'm strong enough as a person to have differing opinions from other people, and you can have yours, and that's fine.
To the point where, you know, it, you know, with the, some stuff that they do is kind of brainwashy.
Yes,
for people, which is absolutely a little dangerous. But
it is dangerous, and it's something that, you know, it's something that people should be aware of. But I think that everyone now is. Like, I don't think I think that most people know what Scientology is about. And there's all kinds of press everywhere. You can kind of take a look at it. But he actually did, like, he did the stunt. Like, so you saw, of course, there's a stunt where he is on the plane. And so I know he's hooked up. I know he's not actually just holding on. But he's holding on to this plane. And it's flying, like, I think it was like a 747 or something. Like, it was huge, this huge plane. It was the coolest thing. And do you know the underwater scene?
Oh yeah, like he had to hold his breath for like 4 minutes.
He actually trained himself to be able to do that.
Yeah, that scene is for like if you are like ever worry about drowning, man, that scene is stressful.
It is a really, really stressful scene, and the coolest part is he actually did it. And unfortunately, with them cutting up the movie to make it exciting, you don't see it in a whole 3 minute stream. I think that they should have done the whole 3 minutes, because he really trained himself to be able to hold his breath for 3.5 minutes to do that scene.
Nuts.
Which is incredible. And I love anyone that is that passionate about whatever they do to be able to go all in for it. And some people say, well, you know, it's, you know, if he actually got hurt, everyone would have lost money that were on the set and to be able to deal with it. He's really passionate about this. Give it to him. It's pretty incredible, all the training and how, you know, intense he is with what he cares about doing. And I really did also enjoy the movie. I thought the movie was pretty good.
Let me just say this for all the James Bond folks out there that were all excited for, was the last one Spectre or something like that? The last three Mission Impossible movies have been better than the last three James Bond movies.
Not counting Casino Royale.
I would say as a sum of the three plus a sum of the other three, Mission Impossible are absolutely superior. Casino Royale is really good. But, man, like what was the Spectre and
Quantum something of Solace.
No, okay, no. They made three of them. It was Quantum of Solace, Spectre's the newest one, and there was one after that too. One in between those two where everyone like loved it and actually wasn't very good. It was when like M, they were out at a house. It was Home Alone.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. That's the one where they did the beautiful colors between the blue and the orange, which it wasn't bad. I didn't love it. It wasn't.
But it wasn't Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, where Tom Cruise is climbing up the tallest building at the time, the tallest building in the world. He actually did that. There's actually a picture of him sitting at the very top of that building without like a harness on, because again, he's crazy.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I really have been enjoying all of the Mission Impossible movies. They're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Oh, man. I really like the last one. It's just it gives you what you want, and it's fun and it's exciting, and it has some great characters in it, mm-hmm. and some amazing fight scenes. And some great women fighting, which I always love. Mm-hmm. Really exciting, really fun. I thought it was a great movie, too.
All right. Well, that's going to lead us probably into the Agenda Free segment for the Patreon folks. But before we do that, again, let me just take out my notebook of Georgia Dow plugs that we got to get out, because she's on everything. of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Georgia_Dow. There's imore.com, as I mentioned before, anxiety-videos.com, on the Isometric podcast, the Vector podcast, of course, showing up on the Twit network from time to time. Was just on, God, you do more podcasts than anyone, Georgia, but you're on Josh Hillier's podcast for Digital Rights, where you guys were too kind to me, and you were just on... What else have you been doing? And you were on a couple other fitness podcasts too.
Yes, I was on Bill's podcast. Yeah. Yes, which I am trying to remember the word, because
I know I was on it too. Bill's a really good dude.
Bill is such a sweetheart, and I can't say his last name properly.
Starts with a K. I remember that. It's like I'm so bad with pronouncing last names. Whenever I do anything on a video game podcast and say a Japanese name, it's just an unbelievable. Train wreck.
Kokyaba.
Yeah. Bill, you know what's up. Bill knows he's cool.
Yeah. I'm gonna anyways, we went through effective goal setting, and it's the Kokyaba. Look up Kokyaba Fitness and you will find his podcast.
He's a good dude. All right. Also I think I know, Georgia, you got anything else that's coming up as you go into 2016 that people should keep an eye out for? Any speaking engagements, stuff like that?
No, I actually don't have any. I'm very sad. I don't have any speaking engagements coming up, which I love to do. So I'm just going to be chilling out at home and waiting for all the cool new tech to come in.
Let me ask you, if people, because I know a lot of people who listen to this, actually, a lot of people are doing like fitness seminars and stuff like that. If people wanted to get in contact with you about like to kind of like see if they could get you for a summit or whatever, a seminar, what's the best way for them to reach you?
The best way would be either sending an email at Georgia@imore.com, or of course you could just hit me up on Twitter and send me a message to it, and I always reply. If I didn't reply to it, then I didn't get it. Please resend. But those would probably be the best ways to kind of reach me, and I love to do them.
Well, let's also mention that I guess down the before the end of the year, if you want to keep an eye out for the Back of My Play movie episode of Flight Navigator. I guess we're going to finally talk about that and hear Georgia's impressions, which, I mean, we've pumped the tires of that movie so much. There's no way that it lived up to what it actually was. But we're going to save any discussion until we do that. And, make sure you're following Georgia, Georgia_Dow on Twitter. You can usually get a pretty good idea of what she is up to, and just incredibly busy and doing really cool stuff. So, Georgia, thank you so much for coming back on. It's always just great to sit down and talk about stuff.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Please jump on iTunes, subscribe to the show on there if you enjoy it. Please also submit a review. If you want to help support the show, you can do it at patreon.com/thefitcast. And from there, you'll also get shows at least 1 week early. You get bonus agenda-free segments. And don't forget, the proceeds of every fourth episode is going to go to charity. So we get to help out the ASPCA in November. And then for December, we're going to be donating to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So you get to help support the production of the show. And then you also get to help out some really cool charities as well. So thank you to all 170 of you or so that are Patreon supporters. It means a lot. Well, again, that's going to do it. We're going to leave. And if you're a Patreon supporter, stay tuned because you're getting another 25 minutes of content. Stay tuned.
Yes, with a special thing. Yeah.
A special thing.
No, because now they're going to see the show. Yeah, it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. What? Because because if we didn't talk about the movie beforehand, they would have heard it first on Patreon. But now they already. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Oh, but don't worry. We talk about crazy purchase we made.
We do.
iPad Pros.
We do. The stuff you have to get.
Stupid curved TVs. What the hell? 4K when there's no 4K content.
You have to get the curved TV.
I don't know. All right. Well, that again, we're just going to trip our way into the finish of this show. And that's what happens when you stay up super late and watch stuff on Netflix. So go get some sleep.